Our 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is Dr. Patty, and I want to tell you about something awesome that's happening this weekend. The 9/11 Memorial Wall is at the Veterans Museum in Anderson at 4659 Ronda Road. There's a dinner tonight at 7 o'clock, and tickets are $35 each. If you need more information, you can call 530-510-8210. The wall's going to be at this address until Sunday, August 1st. This is quite an opportunity for Redding, Shasta County, Anderson, so come down and see the 911 Memorial Wall at 4659 Ronda Road in Anderson. Good morning. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This morning, I have some special guests here in the studio who I will be introducing pretty soon, but we're going to talk about a subject called pain you cannot see. We're talking about those invisible illnesses that people suffer from and deal with and create misery in their lives, but you can't see it. And it's a perfect timing to talk about this because just this past week, Simone Biles, 24-year-old Olympic gymnast, withdrew from the Tokyo Games, saying that she was having a mental health issue, which is, you know, certainly it's admirable that she was able to speak up and say, I need help and I need to do what I have to do to take care of myself. But it created a lot of controversy here in the United States, at least maybe around the world. But here in the United States, some people were saying, look, she's an athlete. She should dig deep. She shouldn't be weaning out. She needs to just stick with it and keep going. And then other people were commending her for her bravery in speaking up about mental health issues. But it really fits in with our topic today because we're discussing that kind of pain that you cannot see. And those type of things are like arthritis and fibromyalgia, lupus, mental illness such as depression, anxiety, PTSD, where PTSD victims and people struggle with PTSD can be so debilitated that they can't leave the house, chronic fatigue. The list is huge. So we're going to talk about what it's like to have a chronic illness that creates pain that others cannot see. And how can you deal with that? So we want to describe it, really give some people that deal with it some validation that they're struggling. And then by the end of the show, I want to give you some things that you can do to cope with it. And personally, as a psychologist, I think that Simone Biles was very brave to speak up and take care of herself and say what she needed. And I do understand that that was disappointing and difficult for a lot of the Olympic athletes, but you know what? If it was her health, her mental health, if she had broken a leg, nobody would have said a word about it. But since it was her mental health, the perception is you can dig deep. You can keep going further. So as we're talking about debilitating illnesses, what happens with this? When someone has chronic pain, it isn't just their body that it hurts. Chronic pain changes your life. It makes it so that you can't do what you used to do. You don't even look in the mirror and see yourself the same. It creates an attempt to make other coping mechanisms, often such as addiction to pain medicines, alcohol use, sometimes even agoraphobic type things where you don't want to go out of the house because it's either going to hurt or you're going to look disabled or you really can't make it through the whole grocery store or make it through the whole mall. So people tend to fill in with other coping skills. And what I always tell my clients is the coping skills I see are drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, shopping, gambling, the things that make you hopefully not feel. Because in chronic illness and chronic pain, you're not only feeling the physical effects of whatever illness you have, but the emotional effects can be debilitating. So chronic pain people have something overhanging them all the time. They feel like others are looking at them like they're faking it, or they might be doing it for money because they want to get disability payments, or they just want sympathy, or they want to get out of doing work or chores or having to do the laundry or take care of the house or take care of the kids. They're trying to opt out of life, and it's a fake job. And that's the thing that they struggle with all the time. So they're not only feeling depressed and anxious about the chronic pain they're feeling, but they feel depressed and anxious about the judgment that they receive, whether it's real judgment or perceived judgment. Sometimes they just worry that others are looking at them like they're weak or a weenie, something like that. Or people actually complain to them. They get a whole lot of comments about, you don't look so sick, or, wow, you'd never know something's wrong with you, or, you know, you look so good, I don't think anything could be wrong. I dealt with this with my husband, Rich, who passed away from frontal temporal degeneration, a brain disease. And we often got from people, he doesn't look sick because he was physically okay. And he used to work out 6, 7, 8 hours a day just to cope with his illness. But his brain was sick. You couldn't see a sick brain. And in our house, you kind of had to hang out with him for what I used to call the three-day rule. By the end of 3 days, people were crying on the back deck saying, how do you guys deal with this? Because it was so horrendous. But he could maintain for a little bit if he ran into someone at the grocery store, if he was with me, or if he was out for a walk, but not always. He couldn't always maintain. It happened if you happened to see him when he was doing well, we heard all the time, he doesn't look sick. He seemed fine to me. I can't tell you how many times I heard, hey, I ran into Rich in the grocery store. He's good now, isn't he? He's doing better. And we just were like, well. So you end up with this perception that you're faking it. And that is a very difficult part of chronic illness. So I want to tell you who I have in the studio here with me today. I've got two experts in this area. They're smiling. One of them is my ginger snap, my oldest daughter, Tara Bedford. Can you say hi, Tara?
Hello, everybody. I'm a ginger snap.
Yeah, she's my ginger snap. You hear me talk about her sometimes on my podcast. Tara is here because she struggles with a chronic illness. And where she's going to give us the patient's perspective and the person who has dealt with this for a while now. And this thing that Rich and I used to call chasing a diagnosis. People with chronic illness also often take a very long time to get diagnosed with whatever they're struggling with. So after her dad died, my husband Rich, I think the stress that all of us went through for so long has taken a toll physically on everybody. And one of Tara's responses is to begin to have this whatever autoimmune thing she's got going on. So she's going to talk to us about that. And then across the table from me here also is my dear friend and my resident expert who's always willing to volunteer his time to come on the show, Dr. Richard Malotke.
Good morning.
Dr. Richard Malotke has been on my show numerous times. He is always the voice of reason and expertise. He has been a general practitioner with tons of experience, not just that.
She's saying that I'm old.
Yeah, he's been doing this for like 40
with
years.
With her loving way of saying it. Hey, old and fabulous, okay?
Yeah, he and I are the same age, so what can I say? Anyway, he is here to talk to us from the doctor's perspective about people dealing with pain you cannot see. And what he can give us a few pointers on things that help with people that are chasing a diagnosis and why people chase a diagnosis. Because as I was talking to him about this subject, and he's giving me a lot of insight from the doctor's perspective of why we can't just say, okay, this is what you have, and why they're reluctant to just throw a diagnosis on you if they don't have enough information. So hearing it from him, hearing it from Tara, and then in the last section of the show, I'm going to give you some very specific things that you can help your loved ones and friends and family to understand and to try and help you through this difficult time in your life, even if it's going to be for the rest of your life. It's just how it happens. So We've got something really special that we're going to play at the beginning of Tara's episode, which is this next one. And Tara is a singer and a songwriter. And many of you hear the song that is opening at the beginning of my show. And that is actually Tara's song called We Can't Do This Forever. You can go to YouTube and pull up Tara. I think it's just under her name, Tara. And it's under my channel, P.L. Bay, or Patricia Bay, one or the other. And type in, We Can't Do This Forever. That's Tara's song about domestic violence, and it's incredible. Well, she has written another song, and it's called Pain You Cannot See. And we want to send this out to all the people that struggle with pain that you cannot see. So when we come back from break, we're going to start off with Tara's song. We'll be back in a minute.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Summer is upon us, and we all know what that means. Lots of summertime fun. Spend at the lake, by the pool, or off on adventures to your favorite waterfall or floating down the river. Servicing your vehicle is last on the list, but we all know it has to be done. Let Premier Oil Change save you time and money with their easy drive-in service. No appointment needed. Wait in the comfort of your own car, enjoy a cold beverage, and before you know it, you'll be off to your next summertime adventure, knowing that your car is summertime ready. Earn reward points for every dollar you spend, which can be redeemed for an oil change, additional services, and other great rewards. With free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi, and a free car wash, you are sure to leave refreshed. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit them in Palisadro in the Holiday Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard near Waterworks Park. And don't forget Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
This is Dr. Patty. I'll tell you, it's hard listening to your own baby be in pain. But that song is beautiful, and it's going to help a lot of people, Tara.
Thank you.
That song, A Pain You Can't See, and also her song, We Can't Do This Forever will be available soon for purchase on Amazon and iTunes. So just for right now, let that heal your heart a little bit if you're struggling with pain that you can't see. So Tara, talk to us about your autoimmune disease. We're not sure. You were diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. We don't know if you've got lupus. You've got lupus symptoms, but you've been chasing a diagnosis.
Yes. It's been probably about 5 years now, 6 years.
Since your dad died, really.
Yeah. And I remember actually being a kid and having pain symptoms, but of course never thinking anything of it. And what's interesting, actually, Dr. Malachi is one of the ones that said this, which I do think is a portion of it. I think PTSD and trauma have a portion to it.
From your military service?
Yeah, military service.
Domestic violence.
Mm-hmm, correct. I think that does play a little bit into the whole physical aspect of pain and things like that. But I think with chronic illnesses like this, especially the invisible ones, it's a whole array of things. That's the problem. And I've noticed the pattern of what happens going to a doctor. You go in there and you say, this is how I'm feeling, this is what's happening, and you tend to have a list of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 things, and they look at you and they go, that's a lot. You know, and you're like, and I love you. It has nothing to do with you, Dr. Maki. not pertaining to you. But, you know, you go in there and you're trying, you as the patient, are trying to make sense of what is happening to your body.
And not just look like a whiner.
Right. And, you know, and you are trying to understand it. You're trying to wrap your head around it. You're trying to dig through it. But at the same time, recognizing something's not right. And you know your body. And when you know when something's not functioning properly. And for me, my experience in the past is there have been medical situations that, you know, I'm in tune with. You know your body, like I said, so you're in tune with it. And I have said to doctors, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. And I've been told, nope, you're fine. We'll just wait and see what happens. Let's just keep an eye on it. And I'm going, no, something's not right. And then you finally get an answer. And for me, at the beginning of all of this, it was endometriosis and polycystic ovarian syndrome. So for me, I'm sitting there telling my doctor, I know my body. This is not normal. And when I finally got the diagnosis, there's such a relief that comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this feeling of...
Like a sentence.
Yeah, despair, because you're like, okay, thank goodness, I have an answer. But oh my gosh, now I've got this problem. So for me, with what's happening on top of that is with the autoimmune issues is I'm sitting there saying, I know my body. And I feel like I'm not being heard. And that's the problem. So you tend to start kind of almost like gaslighting it on yourself, going, okay, well, you're just crazy. There's something wrong, you know.
Maybe I am depressed.
Maybe it is something in my head. Maybe I'm not really sick. Maybe I, you know, I am doing this to myself. And when I wrote the song, that's really what was coming through for me was this whole invisible pain that happens. And like I said, did I do this to myself? Did I fail somewhere?
Well, let's look at how chronic pain affects relationships, your marriage, going, like, your husband says, let's all go out to walk the Sundial Bridge, mm-hmm. and you're not feeling up to walking the Sundial Bridge. Or you don't do well in the heat,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden you'll spike a fever and turn all red and
yep.
get a rash. And,
a lot of times it comes down to...
So you can't go is my point.
Yeah, and a lot of times for the patient itself, and when I say the patient, me, and anybody that's going through the same thing, which real quick I want to give a shout out to my really good friend in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Marie, my Riri. She is in the same position as me, and so it's been really great to have somebody that understands that completely.
Yeah.
But as the patient, what's so hard is you find yourself exerting energy into trying to maintain your life, also while trying to make sure you're okay and take care of everything you need to take care of. So you find yourself exerting all this energy into either, you know, pushing yourself so hard to keep that same lifestyle with your family, your spouse, your children, and then trying to not completely crash yourself. So you end up actually causing more problems because you can't just function one way or the other.
Yeah, and here's interesting. I want you to tell me if this is accurate. What I see all the time is that people are saying things like, they give you platitudes, they give you pity, and they give you pathways to change. So this is what I hear from people in my practice, and this is what you've told me is because I'm your mom. You look so good. You're too young to be so sick. Things will get better. You'll be fine.
My favorite one is, have you tried this diet?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, duh. It's my diet. Why didn't I think of that?
You know? Yeah,
so you're like, okay.
Well, you take too many medications. Have you tried this diet? Have you tried this medication? You need to get more exercise. Oh, and the one that I've always liked is, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
I have whatever.
Well, for me and my friend Marie, we have, you know, it's borderline lupus, chronic fatigue, that kind of thing. So for us, when we say we're crashing, it's not like, oh gosh, I just didn't get enough sleep last night and I've got so much to do and I'm just tired, I'm going to go to bed early. No, it's like somebody has drugged you and you're dying and you can't function, you can't think, you can't feel. So when somebody looks at you and says, I'm tired too, it's like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm always
I wish
tired.
I was just tired.
Well, it's the pain that you can't see is far more than chronic pain people really even say out loud. It's debilitating.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, we've got to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Malachy join in with us and talk to it from the doctor's perspective. We'll be back in just a moment.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and you're listening to the beautiful music of Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. Randy will be playing tonight at the dinner at 4659 Ronda Road, where the 9/11 Memorial Wall will be, and he'll be playing tomorrow morning at the 5 a.m. sunrise service. It will be beautiful. And then there's another service at 10, so he's going to be playing a lot. Come down and listen to him and Anderson, 4659 Ronda Road. Okay, we're talking about the pain you cannot see, and I've got Dr. Richard Malachy, who has a ton of experience, and he says that means I'm saying he's old.
Well, truth hurts.
Yeah, in dealing with this kind of stuff, and I wanted his perspective about what the doctors deal with trying to help someone like Tara, and this whole idea that chronic pain patients chase a diagnosis for a very long time. Take it away, Richard. Dr. M.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Dr. Patty. This is a movie which I wish I didn't see as often, but I've seen it many hundreds of times in the last 40 years. And usually, like if I'm meeting a person for the first time, they'll preface the introduction by saying, I've been to 6 or 7, you know, different doctors. All my x-rays are normal. All my blood tests are normal. Everyone's telling me I'm okay. And I know my body. I'm not okay. And they're almost defensive by that time about even telling me.
Or angry.
Well, that too. And whenever I hear that, I'm disappointed in some of my colleagues who don't, you know. Anyway.
Listen.
Yes.
Well, there's a fear that comes with telling it again.
Right.
Because you're so scared of being told that there's nothing wrong and it's in your head.
Yes, and everything's in our head. So, and our head and our body are connected. And, yeah, so I've seen a lot of times, and there's a lot of different kinds of things that can generate pain. Post-traumatic stress can generate pain even without a collagen vascular disease diagnosis. That's a doctor speak for autoimmune illness. And just real quick, in autoimmune illness, what happens is your immune system makes a mistake and starts attacking parts of you. It's supposed to leave you alone and only attack the viruses and bacteria that are trying to get you. But autoimmune illness is marked by exacerbations and remissions. I was taught diagnosing it is like trying to grab smoke. And that's topical for this time of year, but you can see the smoke and you reach your hand out and close your hand around it and then you open your hand up and where to go. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to see the patients during an exacerbation, it's a little easier to figure it out. They'll make the appointment, and then the day they come in, they're in a remission.
Of course.
Which
mm-hmm.
My truck never makes noise when I bring it
exactly.
to the shop.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, how I referenced
it. And they're even more frustrated because they're the ones that are suffering. So what I try to do is just have that basic mindset of don't give up. You know, like mm-hmm. I'm not supposed to give up to try to figure it out, and we try to get the patient's chin up, shoulders back, and we're going to get after this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love how you do that. You listen to patients, you spend an inordinate amount of time with your patients, and you follow through. So if somebody who's dealing with this kind of pain you cannot see, it's important that you find a doctor who will work with you to start doing the tests you need and to really look deeply into what's going on so they can possibly diagnose it
yeah.
and help you.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, and part of our trouble is that many of these pretty common things like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, there are no x-rays or tests that show that you have that.
Right.
I like to call them, those are diagnoses of exclusion. Mm-hmm. So you check all the known organic things that might cause that symptom complex, and if all those tests come up negative, you make a kind of a default diagnosis of fibromyalgia, but then you can treat fibromyalgia, so we go on from there.
Mm-hmm.
And autoimmune is a little different, but the same thing. You just got to be like that bird dog and not lift mm-hmm. your nose off the trail.
Well, and you and I did a show a number of months ago called Dr. Google, and we did that because so many people come in to my office, too, especially to your office, having Dr. Googled all their symptoms, and they
yep.
don't come in and say, what do you think of this? They come in and say, I have.
See, and for me, there's a difference. I think there's a fine line between Dr. Google and research and knowledge, mm-hmm. like what we were talking about earlier. For me, it's I want to be knowledgeable about what's happening or the avenues of what's happening so that when I do go to a doctor, it's not to one-up them or to say, I know more than you, I'm better. It's so that I know what they're talking about and what they're referencing or what...
That's education.
And exactly. Yeah. So to me, there's a difference between Dr. Google and saying, I'm going to die in 6 minutes or, you know what you're talking about.
Well, and I think the important point is, too, Dr. Malachi, when people come in and say, I've... Dr. Googled this. They usually don't own that. They just say, I've read about this, mm-hmm. and I have, and I want you to prescribe me this. Does that get in the way of you being able to diagnose them properly?
It's a legit question, and I do hear it all the time now. And since I'm so old, I predate electricity. we didn't have the internet the first 20 years I worked, so... people would still try to do research. They'd go to the public library and try to figure out what was wrong with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm on the fence. I like Google. When I give the patient what I think their diagnosis is, I encourage them to go home and Google it for more than one reason. One is that when they read about what I think they have, they'll realize that they're reading about themselves. And they tend to buy in a little more, buy into the diagnosis. They tend to fill the prescription. They tend to be on my team.
So, they work with you better.
Well, yeah, and I'm, we have a team job, so I like the patients to be on the team. And some doctors are a little bit, me, Tarzan, you, Jane, about being like, they're unassailable just because they got A's on all their tests.
Which makes it very frustrating as
well,
a patient.
Yeah, and we for sometimes you can forget that a lot of the patients got A's on all their tests too. So that's a unfortunate character flaw of quite a few physicians. But
I call it the God complex.
Yeah, there's that.
Exactly. Yeah. I know more than you, so be quiet.
Yeah, and that doesn't help advance the conversation, and the patients immediately, you can see their shoulders drop and they just go, oh yeah, this isn't going to work. So, so I like the treasure hunt. For me, it's like trying to find that Easter egg, you know, and it's still, that part is still fun for me, even though the poor patients are suffering. I think it's a good, it's a challenge. And I think a lot of other doctors just like me, they just, are doing their best.
I think a lot of doctors are doing their best, although I will tell you, I often tell my patients, mine, that are, like I'm sending to a medical doctor, I want you to go and have the doctor check out things because severe depression and anxiety could be caused by thyroid disorder or chronic fatigue or things like that. And so I'll send them to their doctor, and I'll often caution them, be very careful how you say to him what you're feeling, because there's some doctors that if you even say, well, could I have chronic fatigue, they get really mad.
Yeah, there's some doctors that don't even believe that that's a diagnosis that exists. And, you know, I'm sure it exists because I've treated a bunch of people.
Well, and from my office, if you've got thyroid disorder or adrenal fatigue or you've got something physical going on, I don't want you spinning your wheels doing therapy on it until we know what we're doing therapy about.
We need a foundation.
Yeah, and if you're, I always say, let's check out the medical first and rule stuff out. And so I like having a doctor like Dr. Malachi I can team with, because I'll say to him, look, this person's super depressed, and can you look at what could be going on physically? And he's like, I'm on it.
Well, you can create a balance for the patient. You've got the mental side and the physical side working together instead of against each other.
Right. And see, that's the problem with this idea of the invisible illnesses, the pain you cannot see. You have to have a good team approach between a patient who's educated but not in his or her own way,
right,
a doctor who's willing to do the Easter egg hunt and figure out where it is, and the therapist who's saying, yeah, this is really struggling
for
you.
So many people, too, have this idea that I think they forget you have a medical problem, and I think they forget that what tends to come with that is the mental aspect of it, too. So people forget, like you're sitting there saying, I don't feel well, but they're not recognizing also how that's actually mentally, you know, debilitating as well. Like you stated earlier, there's the anxiety that comes with it. I feel really guilty. I feel like I'm not being the best mom I can be, the best wife I can be, and I'm letting my family down. And even the chores situation, I would rather be doing chores than feeling like this.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's such a mental aspect that comes with it that I think a lot of people forget. There's a balance that you have to find between the two.
Do people ever tell you much about that in your office, Dr. Malachi? Do you hear, or do you just hear the physical pains, aches and pains?
Well, they're completely inseparable, the physical and the mental aspects of illness. So, and I don't know, I normally will see a bleeding ulcer about once every 4 or 5 years in my practice, and I have a lot of patients. And this last year during the pandemic, I saw 4.
Yeah.
People throwing up blood, and it's because they're watching that television and internalizing all that anxiety about the coronavirus thing.
Sure.
So,
and using coping skills like drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, yeah, shopping, and gambling.
Exactly, all that stuff. So yeah, you can't really separate it. And you know, a PTSD picture like terrorist experience that can trigger this immune dysfunction in ways that we still don't really understand, smart as we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really understand it. So I most of the time don't go by the strict criteria for lupus or, you know, rheumatoid arthritis. And like my grandma's, my mom's mom had seropositive rheumatoid arthritis. The blood test showed she had it. My mom had horrible looking joints, but her rheumatoid arthritis test was negative.
Mm-hmm.
After she had a total knee, we could prove under the microscope she had seronegative rheumatoid arthritis. So just because the blood test is negative doesn't mean they don't have rheumatoid arthritis.
And that's exactly what I've been coming up against. There's so many things that, not you, because I love you, but there's so many times where the doctors will tell me the blood test needs to speak to me. And then when my blood tests are speaking, they go, oh, no, that's not what I want to hear. Well, what do you want to hear?
Yeah.
You know, they're speaking to you.
It's so frustrating.
Why aren't you listening?
So in the last couple seconds that we have, just maybe 10, 20 seconds here, Dr. Malachi, tell me is there something a chronic ill patient can say to you or start off with? Is there a way that they can help themselves begin to get a diagnosis?
Yes. I love to hear this. I want you to treat me, not my blood test.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. I love that.
And we're taught that anyway.
Yeah, well, and they should remember that, right?
Oh, yeah.
That maybe we should have T-shirts made. Please treat me, not my test results. Okay, good. Yeah. I like that. Okay, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, the three of us are going to give you some absolutely good coping skills to help you manage the stress of the pain you cannot see.
A Moment in History, brought to you by KCNR and historian Donnie Smith. The state of California made two identical historical markers for Bass Hill to honor the memories of the brave drivers who drove the stages and held the ribbons, or reins, on the dangerous California-Oregon stage road beginning in the 1850s. One marker was placed in Shasta and the other on the summit of Bass Hill, where the Pacific Highway, now Interstate 5, began its descent down to the Pitt River. The area of the Bass Hill marker was a favorite holdup spot in stagecoach days for legendary stagecoach robber Black Bart, who robbed three stages there. That marker has since been moved and is now located on the east side of the road leading to Bridge Bay Resort across from the guard shack. Black Bart was eventually caught and sentenced to prison in San Quentin for those, plus other stagecoach robberies. A Moment in History, brought to you by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. Want to get more Dottie? Go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Malotke and Tara Bedford, my gender snap, and we are talking about the pain you cannot see. So in this section, the three of us want to give you things that can help you begin to get treatment, begin to feel supported, and to maybe teach your friends and family ways that they can see you better. So this pain you cannot see could maybe be a pain that you have that I get support for from people that love me. So one of the things I was talking about, the things that people say to chronic pain patients about, you look so good, you're too young to be so sick, all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about things that you can say to friends or family that would help them as opposed to demoralize them. So one of the things is just a simple, I'm sorry you're struggling. You don't have to agree. You don't have to believe. You don't have to anything. You can just say, sounds like you're really struggling. And then be quiet. Close your mouth.
Or give a hug.
Or give a hug, yeah, exactly.
Something to kind of seal the deal on that one.
The other one that's similar to that is, I see you doing everything you can.
Mm-hmm.
You were sharing something that my wonderful son-in-law, Robbie, yeah, does. He says to you what?
My husband's been really amazing with all this. He does what he can to kind of fill the void of all of it. But one thing that he says to me when he knows that I'm struggling or having a really hard day that day when I'm crashing, he'll say to me, do the best you can. Do what you can. And don't push yourself.
Don't overdo it.
And to me, when he says that, it kind of encompasses everything all at once, because I feel like he understands. He's saying he believes me. He's telling me, I don't want you to overdo it because I don't want you suffering. So
what that relates to, from what I can see too, is we want, when we have friends or family that have chronic illness, we all want them to dig deep. We want them to come for Thanksgiving. We want them to come over and swim. We want to go for a walk with us. So saying to them, I know that you dig deep. And the chronic pain patient can say, look, I've been digging deep all day and I'm out of dig deep.
I've gotten really good at actually advocating for myself on that, where I used to feel guilty. So now I do very vocally say, I'm sorry, I've overdone it today, I just can't go.
Right. Now, here's what's really important too, is asking a chronic pain patient, how can I help? And I don't mean those kind of platitudes. I mean, Is there something I can do? Mm-hmm. Is there a chore I can do for you? Can I stop by the grocery store on the way to your house? And I'll give you the receipt and you can write me a check.
People don't realize that the smallest thing for us can be so incredibly difficult. Even just something as far as getting up off the couch and going to do a load of laundry. Mm-hmm. It can it'll wipe me out the rest of the day.
If you've got a friend that's struggling and you say, hey, how about if we watch a movie and I'll keep your laundry going?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll fold clothes and watch a movie and hang out together. I mean, that might be a huge relief. You sit there at the counter and I'll clean out your refrigerator. And I don't care if it's gross, I'm not going to judge it. Something as simple as mow your lawn or sweep off your front porch or let me vacuum for you because vacuum is going to hurt your shoulders and you're going to be in pain. So offering to help, finding something specific, and then actually doing it. That not only can be helpful, but it is extremely uplifting because what it says is, I see you. One of the things you were telling me that was so important to you is when you feel like people believe you.
That's huge. When it takes away the anxiety and the guilt that comes with the whole mental aspect of it, and when somebody says that and however they want to word it, it actually tends to make everything else relax and feel better. So even though you know you're struggling, you can rest without feeling guilty, which helps. Mm-hmm. So when you get that support, it makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good. From a medical standpoint, Dr. Malotny, what's something that friends and family can do to help?
Well, one of my good friends named Dr. Patty.
Wonder who that is.
I've heard she's brilliant.
She's fantastic.
She suggests this. Her phrase is boundaries of protection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So try to maybe find out what that person can and can't do.
Know your limits.
Yeah, and it'll vary day to day depending on that exacerbation remission thing we're talking about. But find and then stick to it.
Do your boundaries of protection. Yeah. You can go back in my podcast, and I did a podcast. You go to Dr. Patricia Bay Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, and there is one called Boundaries of Protection.
Well, and what comes with those boundaries as well for the actual patient, what they need to realize is just because you're having a good day doesn't mean it's a good day. You have to recognize that you may be having a great day, but that doesn't mean get up and go do 10 hours worth of yard work.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
You are going to crash for the next 4 days after that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've had to do is learn how to basically, categorize everything throughout the day so that I'm not overdoing it just because I'm having one good day.
Yeah, you can't blow your whole tank of gas.
That's how I've always explained it to you. I feel like I wake up with a tank of gas, and depending on what's happened the last few days, depends on how full or empty that tank is that I'm starting the day with.
Yeah, and that's your boundaries of protection.
Mm-hmm.
Just
right.
Because
so
you feel a little bit better today doesn't mean you should go blow everything and then suffer for the next three or four
exactly.
days.
And
that works for people like with chronic back pain, with other, not just the autoimmune things that you can't see.
Yeah, but PTSD, trauma, it goes all hand in hand.
Right. Yeah, sticking to that is probably the first therapeutic suggestion I would have. And, we have pills. We've got prescription medicine that often will help you that's not narcotic or habit-forming. And, for instance, fibromyalgia patients, I've done it for 40 years. Fibromyalgia patients, we treat them with seizure drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's shaking their head and going, hey, I don't have seizures. Well, seizure drugs, how they work is they stop inappropriate nerve activity.
Mm-hmm.
We understand the fibromyalgia pain to be inappropriate nerve activity. So lots of times it's a magic trick to give people one of these, like we mostly use gabapentin now, but we used to use all kinds of, even Ritalin 40 years ago, and make everybody's gums get big. But the modern seizure drugs are very low side effect profile, and you can't hurt yourself with them. And oftentimes, there is something that your doctor can offer you that will help you.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't want to downplay that taking an antidepressant when you have a chronic illness can be very helpful, partly because it gives you a little more coping space and also because chronic illness is depressing.
It
ruins
depressing.
Your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so you go on to, with that so. Reactive depression about your illness for long enough, it can become a chemical imbalance in your body, and riding that with serotonin uptake inhibitors can be really
the whole thing
beneficial.
Is a vicious cycle.
It is
a vicious cycle.
So if your doctor suggests antidepressants to you, your doctor might be really seeing those depressive symptoms, which go hand in hand with your chronic illness. So don't just say, oh, they think I'm just depressed. They think I'm faking it. And hopefully your doctor's like Dr. Malachi who can say that.
Well, chronic pain is a big thumb, a big heavy thumb on your fight or flight button.
Yeah.
And when you hurt all the time, you're always in that fight or flight mode, mm-hmm. and you chemically exhaust your neurotransmitters in the in the left prefrontal cortex.
Yes, and that definitely affects your mood mm-hmm. and your behavior. It affects how patient you are.
Oh,
whether you get easily angry.
Very much so.
It affects a whole lot of you. So if you're a chronic pain patient and you feel like a bad mom, too irritable, like you're trying to self-medicate with other stuff like drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, sex, gambling, then you need to talk to your doctor about, look, I'm barely keeping my head above water to cope here.
Yeah.
I've got this whole bucket over here of physical stuff I'm dealing with, but it's filling up my emotional bucket, and I don't have any room to cope.
Well, I'm kind of not along the lines of the boundaries issue, too. For patients like me who are moms, you know, or dads, one thing that I've learned, and it took me a while to learn it, was be honest with my kids. You know, they know something's not right. They know mom's different. So one thing I've started saying to them is, you know, I'm sorry, guys, mom's crashing today. I'm having a hard day. And my kids have gotten really amazing where they'll look at me and go, don't worry, mom. We don't have to do anything. Let's just sit there and cuddle and watch a movie, which makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Huge. Because they're not sitting there running around.
They've learned how to support you, not guilt you.
Right.
Which is cool. You know, the idea that you have to set your own boundaries and you have to be willing to basically cry uncle and say, I can't do anymore, or if I keep doing this, I won't be able to do anything tomorrow, is really important. So we're talking about other people believing that you're ill or that you have a pain that they can't see. You have to believe it as well.
You have
because
to accept
the denial,
that you can't do everything anymore.
Denial and avoidance makes you ignore your boundaries of protection and makes things worse,
mm-hmm.
makes things way worse. The other thing is I really want people to know when they're beginning to give up, when they're falling into a depression so bad they can barely get out of bed or get off the couch. They're probably drinking too much. They're probably, you know, taking their pain meds too much. And they're kind of giving up. And one way to get out of that is to accept what's going on, work your best, work with your doctor, keep trying to find that thing that makes you feel better, mm-hmm. whether it is eating healthier, it is moving a little bit in a way that's supportive for your body.
But
the other thing is to let yourself be social and do it with friends and family that if you have to cancel at the last minute because you've crashed,
they go,
okay. I'd rather you say you're going to meet me for coffee and call an hour before and say, look, I just can't pull it off, and then go, okay, maybe next time. And there's the phrase, you guys, okay, maybe next time.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad that you tried. Or you go and you can only stay a little bit and you have to go home.
Right.
So don't give up and recognize when you're getting to that point where you are giving up because that's leading to depression. And here's the big one. People with chronic illness often get suicidal.
Yep.
Well, you get so frustrated.
It's frustrating. It makes you angry. And you lose sight of who you are.
Well, and you're scared.
And
because you don't know what's going on. For me, what I've always stated to you is I need a name to the monster.
Yeah.
In order for me to know what I'm fighting. And not having that name to the monster, for me, makes it worse.
Yeah. Chasing a diagnosis is very, very hard. We dealt with that with your dad, with mm-hmm. frontotemporal degeneration. But don't give up is what I'm saying. You have to keep chasing your diagnosis. You've got to find a doctor who will listen to you. You've got to cooperate and do the tests that doctor wants to run so he can go on his Easter egg hunt to mm-hmm. figure out what's going on in your body. Don't hesitate to get into some therapy just to deal with the frustration and the changes in who you see yourself. But if you're pulling the covers over your head and you're giving up, that's what leads to that hopeless feeling. And hopeless, like I'm going to be like this forever, I can't handle these emotions anymore, I'm not who I used to be, can lead to suicidal ideation. So, we've been talking about the pain you cannot see. And I want to thank Dr. Richard Malachi and Tara Bedford, Tara Bay Bedford, who have been here today to talk about the pain they cannot see. So you can go to Tara's, get Tara's music. It'll be up on Amazon.com and iTunes soon. And her two songs are We Can't Do This Forever and The Pain You Cannot See by Tara Bedford. This is Dr. Patty, and I want to thank you for tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.